Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
There are a lot of words to describe what happened last Wednesday in Charleston, South Carolina. Horrific, tragic, and unspeakable hate crime.
But early descriptions of the crime by political leaders and most members of the media, those descriptions have avoided describing the mass shooting as terrorism.
FBI Director James Comey told a press conference on Saturday that he didn't see it as a political act, and therefore it's not terrorism.
But here's Daily Show host Jon Stewart talking last week about the attack and the language used to describe it.
And you know it. You know that it's going to go down the same path. This is a terrible tragedy. They're already using the nuanced language of lack of effort for this. This is a terrorist attack. This is a violent attack on the Emanuel Church in South Carolina, which is a symbol for the black community.
So who decides what is or what is not terrorism? When is it correct to call something like this a terrorist attack? Or why are people hesitating using that term? Well, joining us to talk about this is the Reverend Eugene Rivers. He's pastor at the Azusa Christian Community Church and co-founder of the Boston 10-Point Coalition. Welcome, Reverend Rivers. Good to have you back.
Good afternoon, and thank you, folks.
It's good to have you. Let me just introduce
conversation.
Yeah, it's an important one. And let me introduce Lisa Stampnitsky. She's a lecturer in social studies at Harvard and author of Disciplining Terror: How Experts Invented Terrorism, 2011. Welcome to you, Lisa Stampnitsky. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Reverend Rivers, let me start with you. You're concerned about the reluctance of some to call this an act of terrorism. What explains that reluctance in your view?
I'll put this quickly a couple of ways. Number one, had someone gone into another house of worship, for example, a synagogue, where a group of people were studying their holy book, and they were summarily executed, across this country and the world, there would be no reluctance to refer to that almost instantaneously as an act of terror. In none of the discussions nationally where the term terror has been used, have they reduced it to the person was mentally ill. When Osama bin Laden and the folk associated with Al-Qaeda conducted their terrorist activity, nobody said that they were maladjusted, disoriented, angry, confused. None of that language, none of that psychiatric, pseudotherapeutic language was used to obfuscate the political objective. Now, very quickly, Michael Walzer is one of the preeminent political philosophers of this age. And in a collection of his essays, he writes, "Terrorism is the random killing of innocent people in the hope of creating pervasive fear." Innocence is one of the crucial elements in this definition. He asserts the objective of the terrorist is to devalue not only the individuals they kill, but also the group to which the individuals belong.
Mm-hmm. But Reverend Rivers, let me just jump to the sort of cut to the chase here, because I don't want to lose sort of the point here. And one of the points that you're concerned about is folks are reluctant, have been reluctant to use this term. Why do you think that is?
I think that there is a reluctance to use the term because of who the victims are.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no confusion in this country had these victims not been black or been of a particular group, or, you know, it is astounding to me. So I'm arguing that there was no rational discussion regarding the nature of the crime. We fast-forwarded quickly to reconciliation, healing, and pain, which minus the truth. So the country is calling for healing and reconciliation, minus the truth that these people were targeted by a young man who, by his own admission, said, "I had a political objective. I executed a political figure who was also a religious figure, and had it not been for the fact that these were black people, there would be no confusion about whether or not this is terrorism. It's because they were black that..."
Mm-hmm.
People have skirted. They haven't even been willing to discuss it. Worse than the fact that they didn't want to say what it is. There has not been any public discussion.
All right, well, here we are having a public discussion. Lisa Stamptinsky, let me bring you into this. Do you see, respond to Reverend River's concern there. Do you see a reluctance to use this word, to label an act like this as terrorism?
I see reluctance. I also see debate. I see a reluctance, certainly, on the part of many people in power. I mean, the statement that came out from the FBI director saying that this was not terrorism because this was not a political act mm-hmm. was certainly shocking. And I certainly agree that, part of the story of what's going on here is that what gets determined and what gets labeled as terrorism is a political question. And in part, it's about who is considered to be representative of our national community. And I agree that in large part, it is because people in power don't see groups of African Americans as sufficiently representative of the American polity that an attack on that group is not labeled terrorism.
Right.
It's astounding.
Yeah.
Because what they've done is listen, you are not a fellow citizen or partners in this political project called American democracy. And what's astounding, and I just want to be fair, I'm astounded. I'm astonished that I haven't heard anything from our significant, prominent, prestigious black intellectuals on this issue. Hmm. I'm astounded. Or white.
I want to throw an idea out there, and I'll get you both to respond to this, because this has come up already, and we've already heard a few journalists sort of beginning to use this term. CNN's Chris Cuomo started calling this an act of terrorism, and he tweeted out, basically, I didn't wait because authorities see it that way. Terrorism doesn't just mean Muslim extremism, for example. On the other hand, I was looking at some guidance from the Poynter Institute and sort of the journalistic guidance from there, and NPR kind of adhered to this too, was wait just a little bit. Let the facts come in, and then let's let the facts determine whether or not this was terrorism. In other words, immediately we didn't know what the motivation of this shooter was. Lisa Stepnitsky, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this question of let the facts emerge is an interesting way to put it, because one of the things about terrorism that I show in my research is that there is no clear agreement on how we define terrorism or how one decides if an act is terrorism or is not. And there was an interesting piece on the NPR website, actually, just a day or so ago, there was a challenge made as to why NPR had not been calling this terrorism. And the director on the website said, well, what we usually do is we wait and see if someone in a position of authority, if law enforcement or a prominent politician has been calling this terrorism, and then we will use the word. Mm. And what that reflects is the fact that, you know, certain people do have more power to guide and shape the media discourse and guide and shape what gets labeled terrorism and what is not. So I'd question the statement that there is simply some matter of fact that can lead us to answer the question of what is terrorism or what is not. It's always a political determination.
Sure. Well, so who owns... Yeah, go ahead, Reverend Rivers.
You know, Professor, I just want to underscore the professor's point. So what is being said is that if prominent white people, and 9 times out of 10, that's what it's going to be, say instantaneously, because this business about the facts is cute, if a synagogue in New York City is attacked by a dude who's got a Muslim name and a beard and looks the part, nobody waits for there to be a deliberation regarding the facts. 9 times out of 10, if we review and do a content analysis of the press coverage, New York Times, Washington Post, well, everybody, there'd be no question. Hmm. And the Jewish community would make it very, very clear that if people were quibbling and engaging in ideological or political procrastination, they would hear about it. What is astounding is that this waiting for the facts business, which is rarely the case in other instances, in this case becomes the ideological justification for not saying what you would say for one group when the victims are black. And what I find astonishing is that nine people are executed, right? 6 of them are women. And we have to wait for the facts when that's not the way it's handled in the vast majority of other cases.
Let me ask one final question here, because our time is running out. And this is a very basic question, and bear with me, I'm going to ask it anyway, Reverend Rivers. Why is it so important to label it as terrorism? I mean, we've already got the U.S. Department of Justice saying they're looking at the shooting as a hate crime and an act of domestic terrorism. The governor of South Carolina says the shooter should be put to death. That's the pretty much the worst penalty out there. So why is it important to name it terrorism?
You see, because that determines how we address the issues that are brought to light by the act subsequently.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we've already fast-forwarded to healing and reconciliation and, you know, minus the truth. In other words, what we're talking about, and I'll make this quick, what we're talking about, the South Carolina is a white supremacist state. It is a white supremacist state. It was the first state to secede from the Union to defend the right, A, to enslave black people or terrorize those who refuse to be enslaved. You see, and we're in 2015, we've got an environment where neither the governor, the mayor of the city, or the police commissioner were willing to concede, even when the facts were known, that this young man was a terrorist who had a political objective and who stated his political objective was when he went into the church and said, "I got to smoke y'all."
Right. Well, Reverend Eugene Rivers, we always appreciate your passion and your intelligence. Thank you for joining us. That's Reverend Eugene Rivers, pastor of Azusa Christian Community and the co-founder of the Boston 10-Point Coalition, and Lisa Stampnitsky. She's a lecturer on social studies at Harvard and author of Disciplining Terror, How Experts Invented Terrorism. Professor Stampnitsky, thank you as well.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a minute. I'm Agnes Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.